Well, good morning and welcome to worship at Quail Springs. It's so good to be with you today this way. I wish we were together face to face. I am longing for that day when we'll be joined together in the same room once again. But I'm really thankful that we can join each other this way today. And I pray that God is speaking to your heart through the time of worship, and that today you'll take your Bible and just open it with me. And as we gather around God's Word, that God would speak deeply to your heart by the power of His Spirit through His Word. I do want to let you know something that I'm really excited about that our church has the opportunity to be doing in these days. You know, we're looking for opportunities to carry on meaningful ministry and even to begin new ministries in light of the coronavirus. And so something that we're going to begin doing tomorrow, beginning tomorrow, Quail Springs is going to be providing meals for Angie DeBoe Elementary families starting tomorrow, and that we'll be serving two grab-and-go meals Monday through Friday. And so if you or your Connect group are interested in volunteering and to help distribute those meals, please contact Jeff DiGiacomo. You can contact him via email from the church website. I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll be a part of that. It is an opportunity for us to show the love of Jesus Christ to people who are hurting. Well, I want you to take your Bible, if you have a copy of God's Word with you, and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. Today my message has a very simple title and a very simple main idea. Here's what it is. You are important to God. It's impossible for me to overemphasize or overstate how important you are to the God who made you, to the God of this universe. He loves you, He cares about you, and you are precious to Him. I want to tell you about a young woman whose name is Lizzie Velasquez. Lizzie was born with a rare genetic condition that prohibits her from being able to gain any weight. Now, that might sound like it would be a great thing, but it's not. It's a very hard thing. She's never weighed more than 64 pounds in her lifetime. She was born blind in her right eye, and she's just had all kinds of struggles because of this genetic disease that she was born with. When she was in her junior year of high school, Lizzie was watching or going on YouTube trying to find a music video, and she came across a video, and the caption said, "World's Ugliest Woman." Later on, she said, "I don't know why I clicked on it," but she saw her picture. She saw the caption that said, "World's Ugliest Woman." And so this girl, less than 64 pounds, high school junior, clicks and she sees this video. 8 seconds long, no sound, but over 4 million hits and thousands of comments. And many of those comments were absolutely cruel. And she read comments saying, why was she even alive, or why didn't she just do something to end her own life? She's reading this. Her parents found out about it, and they did everything they could to get the video taken down, but the anonymous person who posted it wouldn't take it down, and so there it was. Now, Lizzie could have just withdrawn. She could have become bitter. She could have become angry. She could have sort of retreated into her own shell, but instead she made a decision. She decided that she was going to devote her life to fighting against bullying and to motivating other people and inspiring other people. She decided to become a motivational speaker. She decided she was going to go to college. She graduated college years later. She decided she was going to become an author. She's written several books. In fact, she's written one book called Be Beautiful, Be You. You can go online and watch her TED Talk. It's an inspiring thing to watch. But I want you to hear how her faith in God brought Lizzie through this time. Here's what she said. She said, "It's been my rock through everything. Just having the time to be alone and pray and talk to God and know that He's there for me. Just to be able to know that He's there for me." She realized how important she is to God. You may feel small, you may feel insignificant, you may feel like no one notices you or that they don't care about you if they do notice you. But I promise you this, the God of this universe looks at you and you are precious to Him. You are very important to God. And we see that illustrated in the story of a despised and rejected man, a story that you're probably already familiar with. You may have learned this story and learned a song that went with it when you were a kid. But it's the story of Zacchaeus. And today I want us to look at this story that's familiar to us with fresh eyes and to hear it with fresh ears as God shows us through Jesus Christ just how important people are to him. Beginning in verse 1 of Luke chapter 19, the Bible describes what Jesus was doing. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. He was going through the village of Jericho. It was not too far from Jerusalem, and there was a major thoroughfare that went from one city to the other. So he's making his way to Jerusalem, but he's passing through the city of Jericho. Now, in all likelihood, he was going through the more modern town of Jericho. There was the ancient ruins of the ancient city of Jericho, and then about a mile or so south of there was the Herodian village of Jericho. So he was passing through Jericho. Verse 2 says this, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. These are the words of Jesus. Well, I want us to look at that story today, and here's the main idea. Everything about Jesus Christ proves that you are important to God. Everything about him, everything that he did, everything that he said, everything about Jesus proves that you're important to God. And we see that in this text of Scripture. And the first thing I want you to see as we look at the story of Zacchaeus is this. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. One way that you can know that you're important to God is that Jesus sees you. And so Jesus was passing through Jericho, and as he was making his way through, one of the residents of Jericho, this man named Zacchaeus, heard that Jesus was coming. Now, when we were kids, we learned that song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man was he. So what do we know about Zacchaeus other than the fact that he was a wee little man? You remember we used to sing it and we'd say he was a wee little man, like he was just this tall. He wasn't just that tall. He was a short man, probably not as tall as most of us, but he wasn't a tiny, tiny little man like that. But what do we know about him other than the fact that Zacchaeus was a small man? Well, the Bible tells us he was a chief tax collector and he was very rich. Those two things went together. He was a chief tax collector and he was very rich. In those days, the Roman government collected taxes on all of the people that they ruled over. And the way they would do it, they would contract out with individual operators to get them to collect their taxes. And so they would come to a man like Zacchaeus and they'd say, okay, Zacchaeus, we'll contract with you to collect taxes. You collect this amount, you pass it on to us. And anything you can collect above that amount, that's yours to keep. Well, Jericho was a wealthy place to begin with. There was a lot of trade there. And plus, it was also on a major thoroughfare where people were traveling back and forth and doing all kinds of business. So it was a prime opportunity, a prime spot for somebody in the tax business like Zacchaeus. Now, not only was he a tax collector, the Bible says he was the chief or a chief tax collector. That means he had like a tax collecting franchise going on. He had all these other tax collectors working for him, and they gave him a cut of what they received. And so he got wealthier and wealthier and wealthier and more and more and more despised because the Jewish people couldn't stand tax collectors. They cooperated with the Romans. They cheated and defrauded people. They threatened and they extorted money sometimes. And Zacchaeus was that kind of person. So he was a chief tax collector. He was rich. And he heard that Jesus was coming. Now, maybe he had heard that Jesus was a friend of tax collectors. After all, Levi, better known as Matthew, had been a tax collector before he became one of Jesus' disciples. Maybe Zacchaeus knew about that, but he wanted to see Jesus. The problem was he couldn't see him. You can imagine the streets of Jericho lined with people, and Zacchaeus is trying to make his way through, and because he's short, he can't see over people's shoulders, and because he's unpopular, nobody will let him through the front, and so he does something drastic. He begins to run ahead of the crowd. By the way, in those days, it was considered very undignified for a grown man, especially a wealthy man like Zacchaeus, to run. And yet he ran on ahead of the crowd, and he found a sycamore tree, and he climbed up that tree. Now, anytime we go to Israel, we always eat lunch one day in Jericho. And when we're going through the town, we always pass by a tree, and the guide always tells us, this is the Zacchaeus tree. And it's easy to identify because there's a sign in front of it that says the Zacchaeus tree. I don't think for one moment that that's the very tree that stood there 2,000 years ago when Jesus passed by, but it is sort of instructive and it gives you some perspective. In all likelihood, that sycamore tree that Zacchaeus would have climbed was a tree with a short trunk and then lots of parallel, thick, well-spaced branches so that it would have been easy to climb up. Once you got up, you could sort of climb the branches like a ladder. And so Zacchaeus makes his way up the tree, and he's there, ready to see Jesus when Jesus passes by. Now look in verse 5 of the text. The Bible says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. And I want to stop right there. What Zacchaeus didn't understand was this. He thought he was seeking Jesus. The truth is, Jesus was seeking him. Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was. He stopped and he looked up and he saw him. One of the ways you can know that you're important to God is that Jesus sees you. He seeks you. He's looking for you. You may feel like you're looking for him. The truth is, he is looking for you. He is searching for you because he loves you with all of the love of his heart. Many times when we get saved, we think, well, you know, I was seeking the Lord and I was seeking the Lord and then I found him. The truth is, the Bible says nobody really seeks after God. Instead, God seeks after us because he loves us so much. Reminds me of a story of a little girl who got lost and she wandered away from home. Her parents couldn't find her. They began to search for her, and after they couldn't find her for a while, they called the police, and soon the police were looking, and rescue workers were looking, and search and rescue dogs were looking, and they kept searching, and they kept searching, and night fell, and people were just all over the community looking for this little girl. Her grandparents were looking, and other relatives were looking, and neighbors and friends and strangers, all of them searching and searching for her all night long. Her mom and dad had been looking for her in some woods near the house. And it was near dawn, just as the sun was coming up. And they saw their little girl, and she was sitting on a stump, crying, trembling, all by herself. And they ran up to her and grabbed her. And when she saw them and when she grabbed them, she said, "Oh, I finally found you." Now, the truth is, she hadn't found them at all. They had found her. She felt like she had found them, but they had found her. You may have felt like you found God on the day you were saved. The truth is, he had been looking for you and seeking you. Zacchaeus climbed up that tree to see Jesus, but Jesus was seeking him. And so one way that you can know that you're important to God is that Jesus sees you. But then secondly, I want you to see this. You can know that you're important to God because Jesus knows you. Jesus knows you. Look again in verse 5 of the text. The Bible says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus. Stop right there. He saw him, looked up. As far as we can tell, it was the first time Jesus had ever met this little man. And he calls him by name and says, Zacchaeus. I was telling the story of Zacchaeus to a group of school children one day. And I came to this part of the story and I asked the question, how did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? One little boy was sitting on the front row. He may have been in first or second grade. He gave this answer. He said, he knows his name because he's Jesus and he knows everybody's name. Man, that was the best thing anybody said during that Bible lesson that day. He knew his name because he's Jesus and he knows everybody's name. He called him Zacchaeus. Now, just by saying his name, Jesus revealed some of the things he knew about Zacchaeus. You know, the name Zacchaeus literally means righteous one. So when Zacchaeus was born, his mom and dad had given him a hopeful, aspirational name, Zacchaeus. Righteous one. That's the kind of name you give a little boy that you hope will grow up to really make a difference for the Lord and do what's right. And so he knew the meaning of his name, Zacchaeus. But then Jesus also knew how far Zacchaeus had fallen short of living up to his name. He knew the reputation that Zacchaeus' name had. And in Jericho, his name didn't mean righteous one. When they said Zacchaeus, they meant cheater, thief, bully, thug, all kinds of things, none of them good, associated with his name. And so Jesus called him Zacchaeus, and by saying that, he reminded him of what he was born to be, but what he had become. Jesus knew everything about him. And here's the truth about you. Jesus knows everything about you. Nothing about you is hidden from him. He knows your failures. He knows the guilt that you carry around with you. He knows how you've been hurt by others and how you may have hurt other people. He knows everything about you. And though he knows you better than anyone could ever know you, he still loves you with all the love of his heart. You're important to him. There's nothing about you that surprises Jesus. Sometimes we don't want to draw close to the Lord because we're afraid that he'll find out our secrets. He already knows your secrets. He already knows all those things that you try to keep hidden from everybody else. And he loves you. Jesus sees you. Jesus knows you. But then thirdly, as we look at this text, we see that Jesus accepts you. Jesus accepts you. And so I'm still in verse 5. Just notice what it says as we continue reading. He says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus in the tree. He said, I want you to hurry down. I want you to come on down here because I must stay at your house today. Now, in Jesus' day, to sit at the table at someone's house was a big deal. To come at someone's house and to dine at someone's table was to show that you accepted and you loved that person. It was a way of identifying with someone. So Jesus made a really strong statement to Zacchaeus. He said, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Now, notice that. He didn't say, I might stay at your house someday. Or he didn't say, I could stay at your house one day. He said, I absolutely have to stay at your house today, Jesus said. Hey, have you ever had somebody, maybe somebody at work or somebody you go to school with or somebody in your neighborhood or maybe somebody at church, and you see them and you're talking to them, and as you're sort of finishing up your conversation, they say, hey, we want to have you come over and eat at our house sometime. And you say, great. And then you see them a couple weeks later and you're talking. And at the end of the conversation, they say, hey, you know something? We really want to have you come over and eat at our house sometime. And then you say, great. And then maybe it's 6 months later and you talk to that same person and you've still never been to their house. But at the end of the conversation, they say, hey, listen, we want to have you come eat at our house sometime. And then maybe it's a year later. You run into that same person again. You have a conversation. At the end, they say, you know something? I don't know why we haven't done this. We need to get you over to our house for dinner sometime. Can I tell you something? You are never going to eat at that person's house for dinner. They're just saying that. And I'll tell you what you can do. The next time somebody does that with you, you can do what Jesus did. You can say, okay, I must come to your house today. See, when Jesus said that, he was getting down to business. He was saying, Zacchaeus, this isn't just something that I might do sometime. This is something I must do now. I'm coming to your house today. What was Jesus saying by that? He was saying, Zacchaeus, I accept you. And the people who heard this and who saw this understood very well what was happening. Look in verse 6 of the text. The Bible says, so Zacchaeus hurried and came down and received Jesus joyfully. He said, I can't believe this. Nobody's ever wanted to have anything to do with me, and here you are. And you want to come to my house. He was so joyful. He ran down that tree and he said, come on to my house. And then notice how the people in town responded. Verse 7. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He, Jesus, has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. They were saying, man, of all of the wonderful people in Jericho where Jesus could go and eat with them today, of all the people to pick from our fine town, the person he's chosen is this notorious sinner. Why would Jesus do that? Because Jesus loves and accepts notorious sinners. See, that was his reputation. His reputation was that he was a friend of notorious people that no one else had any use for. He cared about them. He accepted them. He loved them. He didn't approve of their sin. He didn't support them continuing on in the direction they were going, but he loved them enough to accept them and to draw close to them. It's a good word for us as followers of Jesus Christ to ask ourselves, are we stiff-arming people that Jesus wants us to welcome and accept and love in his name? Jesus sees you. Jesus knows you. Jesus accepts you. And then fourthly, Jesus can change you. One of the ways you can know that you're important to God is that Jesus Christ can change you. And that's what he did for Zacchaeus. And so they were grumbling. They were saying, well, why would he go and eat at the home of someone who's just notorious for being such a sinful person? Look in verse 8. The Bible says, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. We don't know exactly when this happened, whether it happened there on the street in Jericho or if it happened at Zacchaeus's house, but at some point in time, Zacchaeus showed that his heart and his life had been changed by Jesus Christ. And the way he showed that was by what he did with his material possessions. By the way, one of the number one things that shows where you are spiritually is what you do with your money and with your possessions. It's absolutely true. You know, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you do with your money and your possessions is sort of like the gas gauge on your car. The gas gauge shows what's in the tank. And the way you treat your money and your possessions and how generous you are and how honest you are and how giving you are, that reveals whether Jesus Christ has really done a work in your heart. Most of us understand money. And so when we begin to honor the Lord with our money and with our possessions, it's a revelation. It's an indication that God has done something in our heart. And that's what we see with Zacchaeus. And so Zacchaeus stood up and he said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." Right now, I'm giving half of everything I have to the poor. And then he said this, "If I have defrauded anyone," and by the way, when he said that, he wasn't saying, "If I have defrauded anyone, and I don't think I have." That's not how he was saying it. He was saying, "If I have defrauded anyone, and I know I have." He said, "I know I've defrauded someone. So if I've defrauded anyone, anything, I will restore it fourfold." Now, don't miss that. In the Old Testament law, the Bible said that if you needed to make restitution for something you had taken from someone unjustly, that you were required to give back what you had taken plus one-fifth. So if you defrauded somebody of a dollar, the law required that you give back $1.20. Here's what Zacchaeus said. He said, "If I've taken a dollar from somebody, I'll give them back $4. And notice how he said it. He said it in the present tense. That's so significant. Look again in verse 8. He says, "Behold, Lord, the half of my good I give to the poor." He didn't say, "I will do it one day." He said, "I do it right now. You've changed my heart. You've come to my house. You've changed my life. I'll give it right now." He said, "I'll make restitution for anything that I've taken fourfold, and I do it right now." You see, Jesus came to Zacchaeus, and Jesus changed Zacchaeus. When Jesus touches your life, he'll change your life. He'll change your priorities. He'll change the way you treat other people. He'll change your attitude. He'll change everything about you. A life that has been touched by Jesus is a changed life. And listen, a life that has not been changed has never been touched by Jesus. It matters not whether you can recite the plan of salvation or quote John 3:16. If there's no change in your life, there's no Jesus in your life. Jesus shows how important you are to God by accepting you as you are, but by never leaving you as you were. He changes your life by his power and his grace. And then there's a fifth thing that we see in this text, a fifth way that you can know that you're important to God. Number five, Jesus has something better for you. Jesus has something better for you. Look in verse 9 and verse 10 of the text. And there Jesus begins to speak about what has happened to Zacchaeus. And he says this, "And Jesus said to him," said to Zacchaeus, "today salvation has come to this house, since he," Zacchaeus, "also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now I want you to notice some things that Jesus said about Zacchaeus. He said that salvation had come to Zacchaeus' house. That means that not only Zacchaeus, but everyone in his household had been changed by Jesus. His wife, if he was married, his kids, if they had kids, the people who worked for him, if they were part of his household had experienced God's salvation. And then also he says of Zacchaeus, "He also is a son of Abraham." Abraham was the father of faith. He was the father of faithfulness to God. The people of Jericho had thought that Zacchaeus was anything but a son of Abraham. But now Jesus said, this one, this despised person, this person who no one had any use for, is also a son of Abraham. He's someone who walks by faith in God. And then Jesus says this about Zacchaeus. He says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." The most beautiful thing I think that Jesus says about Zacchaeus is that Zacchaeus is someone who had been lost. You know, sometimes people don't like the word lost. We talk about those who need a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we say you're either lost or saved. And for some people, that word lost is an off-putting word. But can I tell you something? Lost is a beautiful word. Lost is a loving word. When Jesus says that you're lost, he doesn't mean that you're worthless. He doesn't mean you're insignificant. He means that you are of great worth and of great significance. I heard a story about the CEO of a hospital in Virginia And he got a telephone call from a frantic woman whose mother had died in his hospital. And she said, my mother somehow lost her wedding ring in the last hours of her life. And we can't find it anywhere. And we're going to bury her this week. And my father so much wants to be able to put that golden band on my mother's hand as he lays her to rest. And so the CEO was touched by the story, and he said, well, I promise I'll do everything I can do to find that wedding ring. He left his office and went up to the room where the woman had been. He looked all over the floor of the room, no wedding ring. He looked in the bathroom, no wedding ring. He looked in every corner, nothing. He talked to some of his staff. He asked them, and they said, yeah, we've looked too. We've searched every corner. We can't find it anywhere. And so he was getting ready to walk back to his office. But he just wasn't satisfied. He thought, I can do more. And so he just began to wonder. He went all the way down into the basement of the hospital. And he found the laundry chute and a laundry basket. And he went into this laundry basket at the end of this laundry chute with just all of these wet, dirty, nasty sheets and all these things. True story. And he reaches down and he looks and he was amazed. I'm amazed even telling it. He was amazed to find that wedding ring. Went back up to his office, called the woman's daughter, said, I found your mother's wedding ring. He said he was so glad to be able to give that back to that family. See, when something is lost, it doesn't mean that it's insignificant. It doesn't mean that it's worthless. In fact, if God says you're lost, that means that you are very significant, and yet you're missing out on the purpose that he has for you. If God says that you're lost, that doesn't mean you're worthless. It means that you have great worth, so much worth, that God would send his very best, his only son, to search for you and to rescue you and to pay the price for your lostness with his own blood. Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That verse of scripture is a mission statement for Jesus. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he spoke those words to a man who spent most of his life thinking he wasn't important. He didn't matter. Nobody cared. No one liked him. Until that day that Zacchaeus met Jesus. And Jesus changed everything. Because Jesus proves that every person is very important to God. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes as we pray together. Just take a moment to pray with me. No matter how you feel today, no matter where you are, no matter what's happened to you in the past week, or in your life, you're not small. You're not insignificant. You are valuable. You are precious. You matter to God. And Jesus Christ proves that because he came to seek and to save the lost. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for loving us the way you do. And Lord, I pray for someone right now who's just like Zacchaeus was. They may be out on a limb. They need you. They may feel small and insignificant. They need you. They may have done things that they are ashamed of. And they need you. Lord, we thank you. I thank you that you save everyone who calls on your name. So right now in this moment, I want to invite you right now where you are. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I want to invite you to call on His name and ask Him for His gift of salvation. You can pray a prayer with me like this. You pray it in your heart as I pray it out loud. Just call out to the Lord and pray this way. Dear Jesus, thank You for loving me. I believe that You are God's Son. I believe You died on the cross to pay the price for my sin. Jesus, I turn from my sin right now, and I trust in You to save me. Give me Your gift of salvation right now, Jesus. Save me right now, and I will follow You all the days of my life. For I pray this, Jesus, in Your name. Amen.